This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
What a great opportunity it is to be here with you all today. Dick and I both turned 82 this year. We just got back from Turkey about 7 weeks ago, ministering to the Iranian refugees. And we have our eye on tickets for July of this year to go back. The Iranians, we worked in Iran 25 years and didn't see a whole lot. But the Lord always gave us enough encouragement to help us go back. And in 1980, when we were kicked out, we said, now what? We came back to the States a little bit and we said, well, our hearts are still in Iran. What to do? We tried several doors to get in, and that didn't happen. So we next heard from someone living in the country of Turkey that 2 million Iranians are here. Help, come help. We knew the language, of course, very well. And Dick and I looked at each other and said, by this time we were 57 years old. Dick said, how about going back to Turkey and working with the Iranian refugees? And at first I said, oh, honey, we've got to sell everything, pack up, go to a new country, don't know anybody there. Dick looked at me very sweetly and said, ah, but if one Iranian would come to know the Lord, it'd be worth it, right? Right. Right. And, you know, we took off for Iran and for Turkey, and we didn't know Turkish. We really don't know much Turkish yet. All of our ministry is in Farsi. So we got there and found that there were some Iranian Christians had already escaped Iran and came. So they formed a little church. We all got to meet together. It was wonderful. Then one day we heard that there was a couple that had just come from Iran. They had a little baby, and they were stuck in a hotel. They had gone to the hotel and ran out of money. In Turkey, you can't get out of the hotel until you pay your bill. But they agreed that, can we just leave all of our luggage here? And they said yes. So we went to see them in the hotel. They had a little boy. He hadn't had any milk, so we took care of first things first and got milk for him. And we came to know this couple. Her name was Farideh. And I just loved this woman. She was a nurse. And so we started going back and forth with each other. And they came to our house. We had no car. We lived in Istanbul, had no car. Nobody had a car, really. Ramin, her husband, was a kind of an art student. But they were trying to get out of Iran, and they came to Turkey. And we invited them to our little Iranian church. Oh, it's so much fun to see God work, people, to see God at work. And so they started coming, and one night during the prayer meeting, Ramin said, I'd like to say something. We said, sure. He said, when I came to the church, I came for money. I came for help. But you gave me something a lot more. You gave me love. And you showed me who Jesus was. Family, both of them were baptized while we were there. They were there several years. And they had this little Henri fella that was their little boy. And we thought, oh, this boy is really going to headed for danger. Well, this couple got appointed to the country of Australia. And so they wrote to their family back in Iran and said, we're leaving Turkey, and you won't ever be able to come and see us in Australia. So come now. And so Ramin said, my aunt is coming and bringing her daughter. Well, I thought his aunt was probably a lady about my age. But no, she turned out to be a young woman with a 3-year-old in tow. And while she was there in Turkey, we had a good opportunity to witness to the aunt, whose name was Fahime. And they finally were about ready to go back to Iran. And my Dick said, I have something I'd like to give you, Fahime, to take back to Iran, the Persian New Testament. And so Dick wrote in it, as they usually do, his name and address and to Fahime and the date. And she went off. The couple went to Australia, and we heard no more. They have phone call now and then from them. But a year and a half ago, when we went to Turkey, lo and behold, we went to our prayer meeting one night, our Persian prayer meeting, and there's this lovely looking lady with a girl about 23. And she said, I'm Fahime. I still have the Bible, and we want to know more. Praise God. After all that time, we were there both times. And this lady came with her son and her daughter, and the three of them have studied their lessons for baptism and were baptized just before we went back last time. The husband was staying in Iran and sending money to the family so they could stay in Turkey as refugees, and he came to visit them. You know what the Lord did, don't you? He saved the father. So the whole little family has come to know Jesus. You know, you don't, sitting here in this place, you cannot understand what it's like when people come hopeless, helpless, and then leave with Jesus and everything, and everything. While we were there, I had a thing kept haunting me. My Dick preaches, of course we preach in Farsi all the time, but my Dick preaches and he preaches, when he preaches to American groups, he gives this little story. Jesus died and went to heaven. He rose from the dead, he went to heaven, and when he got there, all of the angelic hosts were there, and they said, oh Jesus, we've seen what you've done. You've given it all. You've provided salvation for mankind. And how are they going to hear? And Jesus said, well, I had 12 disciples, and I told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the angelic host said, but you know, people, they get busy with their own lives. They've got things to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel? Jesus said, yeah. They said, what's plan B? What's plan B? And Jesus looked and said, there is no plan B. There's only plan A. And young people, old people in this room, we are plan A. Go into all the world. Is Jesus not worthy, after all he's done for us, that we should go and tell the story, the wonderful story, and see him work? Thank you.
You see now why I love her so much. God has blessed me with a great wife, and may God give all of you men a wife that's half as good as my wife. She'll be an angel.
I walked off with his Bible.
Praise God. How did this all begin? How did we get involved in missions? Well, I was a student in 1950 in a city called Chicago at Moody Bible Institute. You may have heard of it. And I had to take a class called Missions 101. Dr. Cook was the teacher, and he pointed out a verse to me in Romans 15, verse 20, where Paul writes and says, it's my ambition in life to preach the gospel where Christ has never been named, lest I build upon someone else's foundation. And that night, I wrote my girlfriend, now my wife of 62 years, she was 200 miles away, and I says, honey, if you marry me, it will probably mean you're going to be living overseas for a long time. You think about it carefully. And she wrote right back with a 3-cent stamp in those days and says, honey, wherever you go, I'll go. And I said, that's the girl for me. I soon went to her father and says, I've been dating your girl for a year and a half, and I want to marry her. She's a top girl. And he says, I know it. And you may marry her. That began. And then in 1950, we got married, of course, and God gave us children. And in 1955, we left for Iran from Bush Harbor there in Brooklyn, New York, and 16 days over to Beirut, Lebanon, and then from Beirut, Lebanon to Damascus, and from Damascus over to Baghdad, and then Baghdad to Iran. That took us a week. But then we began language study up in the city of Hamadan. Hamadan is where Esther and Mordecai are buried. Have you ever been there, where Esther called Mordecai? It's a Jewish synagogue, and you go down about three floors, and there are two tombs, Esther and Mordecai. We lived a few blocks from there for 2 years, learning the Farsi language. That's the language of Iran. And it's a beautiful language. It's an ancient language. It's very, very old, but very rich with literature. Ferdowsi, Khayyam, Hafiz, many of those. And the teachers came at 6 o'clock in the morning and were there until 8 o'clock. In the summertime, they came at 5 o'clock in the morning and were there till 7 o'clock. But in those 2 years, we were able to preach and teach in the Farsi language. And we have been the last 57 years. Praise God for learning fluently another language. Well, during our time of learning the language, I taught English at a public school there in Iran. And I saw that the students did not know how to speak any English. They'd had 6 years of English, 5 years of English, but they couldn't speak it. They knew words, they knew grammar, but they didn't know how to speak. So I says, let me teach the teachers English. And they said, all right, we would love that. I says, I'll do it free of charge if I can teach you the Gospel of John in simple English. And they agreed. It was free, so why not? However, they were not responsive to the Gospel of John. I explained things. We went through it. I taught them English. On two occasions, one of the men, he was the vice president of the high school there. He said, this is truth. This is true. But I cannot confess. I would be dead the next morning. My family would kill me if I would profess faith in Jesus Christ. I realized at that time the people were resistive to the gospel. And so we found another way, radio. 1962, we began radio broadcasts from Trans World Radio, and they come coming over the wave. That was great. And then God raised up television. Right now, there are four Christian TV channels going into Iran 24 hours a day. And now, internet. Young people in Iran are going to the what they call a cafe. A cafe is a place where they have all these computers, and they're on the internet. And God is using internet. God is using TV to do that. Praise God for what was there at that time. Praise Him for what He's doing. And then in 1963, we had a group called OM, Operation Mobilization. We called them Orange Marmalade in Iran. We have key names for every organization. Campus Crusade, we call Coca-Cola in Iran. But OM came, and they wanted to print books and tracts, and I had the privilege of teaching them Farsi and teaching them culture, just as important as the language is the culture. And that was great. Our son, our oldest son, married one of the OM girls. I had to write to George Werver and say, George, I know it's against your culture, but I've done a lot for your people here. And we've helped translate your books and so forth. And he wrote back and says, sure, you can have one of our girls, although it's against our laws. I mean, what could he say? But that was the time when they came to give out books and booklets and sell books. And they went all over the country. And we had there a application for a Bible correspondence where they could study the Bible, not by coming to a church, but by in their own private home. And before we knew it, we had 2,000 letters coming in, lessons coming in, using Bible correspondence. Very impersonal, but I had the joy of knocking on doors and going and following up those who had finished three courses, 36 lessons, and that was a great joy. But this was, before we know it, eventually we had 60,000 students enrolled in Bible correspondence. And then what happened? It's called the Islamic Revolution in Iran, a theocracy in the country of Iran. We praise God for an Islamic revolution, an Islamic theocracy, because that's when God opened the hearts of the people and made them receptive to the gospel. They're probably the most Muslim people, the greatest Muslim group of people today that are open to the gospel. We're having people saved all the time. Every week, people are being saved in the country of Turkey and in Iran. Many churches in Iran have been closed. The church is underground, house churches. But there are thousands of house churches. Some are in jail for their faith. But God is working. Ahmadinejad, the prime minister of Iran, has vowed to erase Christianity from Iran. But just the opposite has happened. Praise the Lord for what has happened in the country of Iran and the country of Turkey. My wife and I have been working in Turkey since 1987 among the Iranian people, and they are responsive. We decided to go there. I was overseas director of our mission. I had a big responsibility. But I said, the Iranians are our target group. And in 1987, I said, let's go to Turkey, to Istanbul. If one Muslim comes to know the Savior, it'll be worth it. Just one. But in those times when I was pastor there at the Iranian church in Istanbul, over 100 Muslim people came to know the Savior. They have to go through a course of study to get baptized in the Muslim world. And they followed that course, usually 3 to 6 months of training in the Word of God and in Christian beliefs, because they have so much baggage in their veins coming from Islam that they have to have this Christian teaching. And we saw over 85 of them finish this training and baptized in the country of Iran. That was the beginning. Now the people are even more open. The Islamic Republic in Iran, why we praise God for it? It's oppressive. It's brought about Islamic law. And the people, before they had their beer thing, they had Western dress. Now they have to, all women, Christian, Jew, Zoroastrian, Muslim, must wear a veil in the country of Iran. And they rebelled against it. 80%, God knows the exact number, 80% of the people have rebelled against it. And it's great to see what has happened. They've come out to Turkey. One time we had between 2 and 3 million Iranians. That was during the war between Iran and Iraq, where 2 million were killed, the Iranian and the Iranian killing the Iraqis and vice versa. But now the people who are coming, are many of them have been on drugs, because they've thrown off Islam. Many have turned to other sex groups. Many have become agnostics. Some have become atheists. It's unusual what has happened among the Iranian people today. And they're very open to the gospel. That's what I love. They're very open to the gospel. We wanted to go and see what God would do there, and he has done that. But my wife and I went to Turkey again in October. We were there for 3 months. I preached and taught 26 different times, and the people responded. Praise God. When we were in Iran, I had about 25 converts in 25 years. That's not much. That's 1 a year. Well, I'd like to say all of them persevered to the end, but they didn't. Some of them went back because of pressure. But some were saved. He's worthy. Even if one is saved, he is worthy. And so we continued on. But now the Iranians, it's great to see what God is doing among them. We just had a baptism. 23 were baptized, all Muslims. I just finished a course in this. 9 were in that course, and they're ready for baptism. We have a new. They signed up for people signing up for wanting to be baptized. 31. This is in the city of Ankara alone. There's Iranians living in Turkey in 40 different cities. We have about 5 churches in among the Iranians in Turkey. The others, there's another group that has about 7 churches, but there's 40 cities that needs to be manned by someone who will go. The harvest is definitely ripe among the Iranians today. Now, our brother Ben Luna is going to come. Ben is from the Philippines originally. And he's our man in the new personnel department. And he would like to tell about somebody. Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, well, when I got the email from Vianna and Judy about the theme of this conference, He is Worthy, immediately my mind went to one of my heroes, Tom Little. Any of you here has heard about Tom Little? Cool. Yeah. Well, Tom Little was an optician, an American optician, and he was burdened the people of Afghanistan, because most of the people of Afghanistan, because of the intense heat in Afghanistan, they have trachoma. It's an irreversible blindness. So he wanted to incarnate the gospel in Afghanistan, to be a light in the darkness. Because Tom and his wife believed that no one will care about what we know, not unless we care for them. And so in 1970, Tom and his wife Libby and Molly went to Afghanistan. They survived. In 1970, they survived the Russian invasion. They survived civil war. In fact, during the Russian invasion, there were 100 bombings almost every day for 3 years. One of his eye hospitals was flattened by one of the rockets. Tom and Libby also survived the 2000 invasion, the U.S. invasion. And even with all these 3 events in their lives, and this is what Tom told Libby. And he said, if God wants us here, he is worthy. I saw that. I read that. I heard that from Libby telling us. And because when I saw that, when I read what Vianna and Judy told me, emailed me, that this is the theme of the conference, I said, yes, he is worthy. Well, in Afghanistan, there's a people group called the Nuristanis. And the Nuristanis lived in the mountains. And foreigners are not allowed to go there, not unless they get a permission from the authorities. And so Tom had been there 3 or 5 times. He could only go there about every 3 or 4 years. Well, he got permission. The Nuristanis had been asking the authorities for medical workers. So Tom went with 9 other medical workers. So that was in July 15, 2010. So he and 9 other medical workers went to Nuristan. So they drove as far as they could, and then they walked on foot for 16,000 snow-covered mountains. to the first village. On August 5, 2010, their supplies were depleted, so they had to go back to where their Range Rovers were. And all nine of them were killed except for the driver. When the FBI went to Libby, and the FBI handed Libby one of the notebooks that Tom had, and in the notebook, one of the jottings was 2 Corinthians 2:15. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing, and we are also the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. Tom was the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. And Afghanis got to see Jesus, got to believe in Jesus. But then, we are also the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing. And so, they killed Tom. Hebrews 11, 30, Hebrews 11, 38 says, men of whom the world was not worthy. And Tom was one of those that the world was not worthy. But for him, Jesus is worthy. Let me encourage you all by this from Hebrews 12, 1 for all of us. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending our Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending your Holy Spirit to live in us. Help us to live the life that you want us to live, to focus our eyes on you. Help us to be a light in the darkness wherever you send us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.